Good evening. This is the Voice of America in Washington. Welcome to another edition of Reporters Roundtable. I'm Douglas Impuga. This evening we'll talk about the issue of African refugees. And with us tonight is Mohammed Ademo, co-founder and editor at opride.com. Welcome to the show, Mohammed.
Thank you, Douglas. Always a pleasure to be on.
Thank you very much. We also have Suleiman Mugula. He joins us, as usual, from Durban, South Africa. He's an independent political analyst. Good evening, Suleiman.
Good evening, Douglas.
Welcome to the show once again.
Thank you very much for inviting me, as always.
You're welcome. As I said, tonight our topic here are refugees. As far as Africa is concerned, Africa's refugee crisis, some have called it. Nearly one-third of displaced people are on the African continent, where almost 13 million people in 21 countries were living in ongoing displacement as a result of conflict and violence. This is just those displaced in Africa, not to mention those who are risking it all for other continents in search of a better life. Gentlemen, where do we start? Let me start with Mohammed. How serious is this crisis?
I think it's a big crisis. It's a big problem for African continent. And on the one hand, Africa has a young population that needs jobs, that needs opportunities, but also needs freedom. But there are also leaders on the other hand who continue to hold on to the old practices of repression, and conflict is still a problem. Burundi, South Sudan, some of the contributors for the crisis, but also long-ranging problems like Eritrea, Somalia. The problem in Somalia refuses to go away. So you put all those together, I think conflict, yes, but also countries like Ethiopia, Sudan, and others that are a bit more stable but still are not free, where people, young people especially, feel that they have a future, they have a place in the society. So they're voting with their legs because they can vote at the ballot box and have a hopeful future at home. So it's a big crisis for the continent as a whole, and the African Union needs to really take this issue as one of it is perennial questions that need to be addressed, and that has not been done so far.
I see. Suleiman, as Mohammed says, it seems to be a problem almost across the continent, from the Horn in Somalia, Eritrea, across to West Africa, Nigeria. This must be a really big deal.
It is, Douglas, and it is a sign that by and large, we as a continent, we have failed to govern ourselves. It is an indication that we have failed to harness our natural and human resources. Why should the Europeans be able to stay in Europe? Why should the Americans be able to stay in America, but we in Africa, or Africans, cannot stay on the continent? It's because we, the people in Africa, we have failed to govern ourselves. We have failed to harness the human and natural resources that God endowed us with. So that is why it is a crisis. By 2018, we are still having millions of people internally displaced and millions of people moving across within the continent, millions of people moving out of the continent. So I think that is a clear indication and an indictment to our leadership within the continent to check themselves or to show, to see that, to be aware that there is something which they are getting wrong. And unfortunately, as my brother has said, the epicenter is in Eastern Central Sub-Saharan Africa, which shows that there is a very serious problem in this area, which has got a big number which is moving around.
Mohammed, some people have observed that the problem actually is that the leadership in those countries, in most African countries, have not taken care of the root cause of this problem, which is war, internal conflicts, drought, poor economies. D- Do you see a will among the leadership on the continent to address these issues?
No, I think, as I said earlier, you can't separate conflict from failure of leadership. And I don't think the only solution to deal with conflicts and tensions is by war or by insisting on staying on power beyond what some of the constitution demands, or by making changes to constitutions of the countries. So I think the core issue here is the failure of African leadership. And Sulaiman is absolutely right in saying that we failed to harness not only our natural resources, but also our human capital. Why should the Chinese be moving to Africa when Africans are running away from the continent? Then today, there are more than 2 million Chinese who have come to the continent of Africa looking for opportunities, looking for investment, looking for jobs. Some of them come with Chinese companies who invest in Africa, but they come because those opportunities are there. So the African leaders have not found a way to let go of power. This hunger for power continues to be an African problem, but I think there is nowhere else that is more evident than, as you said, in Central Africa, but in places like Eritrea that has not had an election for more than 25 years now. And I think it's a failure of leadership at the country level, and also a failure of leadership at the continental level. So it's a collective failure of leadership, even, you know, elders, people like Kofi Annan and others who are seen as elder African statesmen, have not taken on these issues and provided a continental leadership, if you will. So in some ways, as big as the problem is, still registers far below some of the other priority issues. In while that is happening, of course, the people who are refugees are paying a huge price. It's not easy to leave your country, leave everything behind, and try to find your food elsewhere. And as we've seen in Israel, and certainly as more and more young Africans try to cross from North Africa into the into Europe via the Mediterranean, we've seen an unspeakable tragedy. African refugees continue to pay a huge price in places like Yemen. So it's a conflict is a symptom, but the larger problem, I think, is the failure of leadership.
Yes, Sulaiman, briefly, let's talk more about the element whereby some people have been displaced by what the so-called infrastructure development, where Chinese pour in money for big, gigantic infrastructure projects, come with their own Chinese to do the work, displace the locals, and render them even more unemployed. So it's sort of, it's as if the leadership is determined to make the situation worse.
Douglas, the bottom line is that so long as we have got rusted leadership in these countries, so long as we don't have a rotation, change of leadership, replenishing of systems, and we have the same leaders and same leaders with the same mindset, with the same policies. Some of them have started as failures, and they are still failing. So long as we don't have replenishing of leadership, we won't get any change. For example, look at countries which have had change. The enthusiasm, the hope which the young people have in this particular country. Look at, for example, the latest change in Zimbabwe. Zimbabweans are now hopeful. The change of hands in South Africa. South Africans are even more hopeful. There is a lot of initiative. There are lots of initiatives which are being taken by the new South African leadership to ensure that the economy is put at another level. Look at countries like Ghana, which have changed. Look at countries like Nigeria, who have changed. Look at countries like Senegal, which have changed. They are able to come with the new leadership, with the new people, with the new thinking, so that we can come up with the policies that can be able to create new opportunities. Back to the point which you have said, the leadership which we have on the continent has really failed the African people. As you have said, how can the Chinese come, for example, with a big infrastructure programs, and they start manning these programs? Our leaders or our governments are not able to negotiate packages that will ensure that these infrastructure programs also benefit the people in terms of employment, in terms of shared capital, so that there are proportions. If they were really determined, each infrastructure program would come with a number of jobs, would come with a number of benefits to the local people. But how could Chinese come with their drivers, with their foremen, with their even normal laborers? That shows that there is blindness as far as the leadership is concerned. So our leadership has let us down in so many ways. We need change of leadership. We need replenish so that we get people who can think according to the 21st century which we are in now.
Mohammed, the other issue is that both of you have mentioned that the leadership needs to change, needs to do better, needs to improve. But the leaders on the continent seem to be bent. Because the more people flee their countries, the better for them. Because, as you said, they're young people, they give them headache. To the extent that some leaders are encouraging their young people, exporting them to the Gulf to work as maids and security guards. So what type of, how does one solve that issue?
I think it's certainly a complicated issue, but I think from the young people perspective, from the African perspective, I think we also need a change of a mindset that there are problems. And it's a bit hypocritical for me to say this, but I think as an exiled journalist myself, but I think the idea that I think is better to stay and fight these leaders and bring about change, that idea needs to resonate with more and more people. And I think that message doesn't usually get across very well because we are focused on the leaders and sometimes we neglect the power we have as citizens of these countries to demand change. And if the change doesn't come, enforce the hands of our leaders. And I know it is a tall order. There is no equivalence here. The state is heavily armed and you are protesting on the street. But we have seen the power of that in the Gambia, in Burkina Faso, even in Zimbabwe. There is an element of organizing, relentless organizing that went on for a year. But, eventually the military stepped in. You saw that in Egypt. You are seeing something of that nature in Ethiopia, another very repressive state where 3 years of protests have really forced the authorities to give in, and we'll see how far reaching the change will be. But I think nonetheless, that's the result of young people deciding to fight for their future. So that needs to change. And as far as the African leaders, and I think some of the problems may only be unfortunately solved once these leaders die and leave office, because there are no indications that leaders like Paul Biya or Isaias Afwerki are going to leave power alive. Mugabe was very close to that before he was forced out. So I think, unfortunately, I'm not too hopeful that the African leaders will change their ways, because you know, there are not very many positive influences. The bright spots in the continent that Suleiman pointed out, Ghana, Nigeria, and to an extent Botswana and others, they don't have that kind of clout continent-wide. In the big countries, and of course other than Nigeria, but the big countries like Egypt and like Ethiopia and others are bad actors, and you've seen backsliding in Kenya, which used to be a much more bright spot for democracy. So I don't see African leaders changing their attitude towards accountability, towards ensuring the rule of law and investing in the future of our people, and really looking inward for validation, for accountability, as opposed to always being accountable to foreign donors and foreign influence. So I think that mindset will change slowly once this older generation leave the office and today's young people come to power. But as I said, I think the mindset, the change of mindset needs to come from both sides.
I see. Suleiman, hold your thought. Let's take a short break. We'll be back to continue our discussion of the refugee issue in Africa.
It's been a long week. You worked hard. Probably need a break. I can help you with that. I'm Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. This weekend, tune in and relax, energize, connect with great music and great people from across the African continent. This Sunday's 55-minute program features promising young artists on the rise. There's also music news and a feature song of the week from Ghana this time that will keep you current and hip to what's happening on the continent. So join me this Sunday and the following Saturday at 15:05 and 20:05 UTC. Music time in Africa. Yeah!
Welcome back. In case you're just tuning in, you're listening to Reporters Roundtable, and we're coming to you live from VOA Studios here in Washington. Tonight, we're talking about the issue of refugees in Africa, and our panelists are Mohamed Ademo, co-founder and editor at Opride.com, and Suleiman Mgula, an independent political analyst based in South Africa, and I'm your host, Douglas Impuga, here in Studio One in Washington. Suleiman, maybe you should respond to what Mohamed said there. Now, are the young people capable of making change, or should they, as he suggested, we should wait out the leaders to die and then things change?
No. Douglas, as my brother has said, it is very, very clear that the problem is not the people who are moving. These are self-inflicted problems on the continent. We are very much aware that over 300,000 people have fled from Burundi since April 2015. That is when Nkurunziza decided to run for the third term. So which means the problem there is that Nkurunziza created the problem.
Yes. Same thing in South Sudan.
It is clear. It is undisputed. Southern Sudan, the problem emanated from Salva Kiir and his brother. The problem is political. It is administrative. Central African Republic, DRC, Eritrea. The Eritreans are the majority, those who are dying on the seas. They are the second to the Syrians. Why? Because of the repressive regime in Eritrea. Ethiopia, a repressive regime. Zimbabwe, it was Mugabe's regime which poured almost 1 million in South Africa. So the bottom line is that it is the leadership, the clique which is in governance, which is causing the problems to the people of the continent. Then, since the continent is a young continent, the onus is on them to reclaim their rights, to know that this is their continent, this is their future. As my brother said, much as many of us have decided to run away, but he has said the young one have to know, they have to change their mindset and know that it is better to remain home, die home fighting, than trying to go on overseas or trying to cross in other countries from Zimbabwe to South Africa. It is better you remain inside and fight. It is better you remain and join those people who are trying to bring up change. Because even Europe, where you are going, they are closing up. America is closing up almost everywhere. Brexit is because of the one of the reasons why there was Brexit is the massive immigration which was pouring into UK, and so many people felt it was too much. In Israel, they are being sent away. So everywhere they are going to send us away. So as my brother said, we have to concertize, we have to appeal, we have to make the young people aware on the continent that they themselves, they can bring up change. The way they have forced some minimal change in Ethiopia, the way they forced change in Burkina Faso. So if they can rally behind whoever is trying to mobilize them, even themselves, they can mobilize them and bring up change. Even here, us in South Africa, the youth are still very instrumental in bringing up the changes which are going on in the country. I like the South African youth because they are very not to run away. Whatever happens in the country, they are to the forefront, and they are at the forefront to bring up changes in South Africa. I wish even other youths on the continent should know that they should be like Malema here in South Africa and this group who cannot allow South Africa to go down because the future belongs to them.
Mohammed, most people agree, yeah, the people, especially the youth, should fight more for their rights and fight for change. But don't you think they need some help? Because most of these dictators and the bad leaders on the continent are propped up by the West, who support them in aid and money and all that kind of thing. Do you think they need some help from some elsewhere, or they have to do the job alone?
A crisis of moral leadership around the world. And for example, imagine getting a lecture about democracy from the White House today. You can't certainly look to some other influencers like China for that kind of support. The European Union is only concerned insofar as the African countries can stop the flow of refugees to the continent. Yes, I think there are aspirational ideas of democracy that people can look to. There are ideas that people can draw from. But in terms of real support for grassroots organizing, for democracy movements across the continent, unfortunately, I'm not too hopeful that the African countries the Western countries would provide that kind of leadership. Because ultimately, one thing that must be very clear, I think a lot of Africans, even in the diaspora, spend a lot of time lobbying elected officials, which is great. I think advocacy is good, but the countries are interested and will help you only insofar as they get something in return. So they are self-interested, and they will not do anything that would harm their interests. Say if you take countries like Ethiopia, they know that is a repressive state, and the State Department puts out very blunt human rights reports every year detailing egregious violations. But Ethiopia remains one of the closest allies on the war on terror in the continent of Africa. Look at Egypt. Egypt is one of the largest recipients of U.S. foreign aid, but is run by a dictator who won election by 97%+ just last month. So I think there are ideas in freedom movements and democracy movements that people can draw lessons from. For example, in this case, the civil rights movement and the organizing and some of the civil disobedience that MLK and the leaders of Black Liberation Movement used. But in terms of real support, I'm just not too hopeful that will calm anytime soon, because countries are looking inward. You look at the example of Brexit in Great Britain, and we saw that in the U.S. and the rise of nationalist movement all across the West. So as these countries look more inward, I think going forward, democracy promotion, human rights will take the back seat. So for that reason, and of course many others, I think Africans need to look inward and get organized and find local indigenous ways of, you know, building solidarity across the continent and also within countries, and building coalition alliances across ethnic divides and things like that to force these leaders to give way and give this give younger generation an opportunity and give Africa the opportunity to rise and lead at the global level, because we have that capacity, and the only thing that's holding back Africa is our failure to lead and our leaders' failure to harness all the potential that the continent has.
I see. We are running out of time, but I want both of you to comment on the report that Israel, for instance, is doing what some people have called selling back some of the refugees, immigrants, asylum seekers, back some to what they call third-party countries. There used to be two, Rwanda and Uganda. The Rwanda deal seemed to have fallen through, but Uganda is seeming willing to go on the deal. Some say because of the money. Suleiman, what's your brief comment on that?
Israel is doing what it is in the interest of its people. Unfortunately, for countries like Rwanda and Uganda, one wonders whether it is in the interest of the people that they can get more refugees when the countries are already inundated. A country like Uganda, one wonders whether there is even leadership in Uganda itself. It shows how rusted, how unfocused and rusted the leadership is, because Uganda is one of the countries which is receiving a lot of refugees from Southern Sudan, from Burundi, from DRC, from Eritrea. I don't think it would be wise for it to add even one single person. Instead, it should be able to protect those who are in, because already even they cannot manage the population which is already in. The country is having a very fast growing population. They are having about 1.5 million people added every year, yet they are getting also refugees. I think there is blindness as far as leadership is concerned. But for Israel, they want to protect their people, just like the way Tanzanians are sending away Burundians, just like the way, I mean, every country would like to protect its borders. It's just not, one cannot understand why a country like Uganda, maybe because of money, maybe because of the $200 million which are pumped in the refugee programs, that are forcing Uganda to keep on receiving more and more money. But I think it is a disadvantage of the country.
Mohammed, 20 seconds. Well, left 20 seconds. Brief comment about that.
I think what's happening in Israel is really heartbreaking. And this is a country that was founded on very high moral standards with the Holocaust and things like that. And the racism and the treatment of African refugees is really unacceptable. And the state in Israel is trying to make money on desperate refugees who have nowhere to go. And that should not be how human beings are treated. And certainly that's not what the convention, Refugees Convention says that the country should treat people.
I see. Well, that's all the time we have for this edition of Reporters Roundtable. I'd like to thank our panel, Mohammed Ademo, co-founder and editor at Upright.com, and Suleiman Mugula, an independent political analyst. Gentlemen, thanks very much for being on the show.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Our producer was Jackson Mvunganyi, and our engineer tonight was Linus Rimkus. We'll be back again next week with another edition of Reporters Roundtable. A reminder that in case you missed any or part of this program, you can still access it by going to our main website at www.voanews.com. Click on Programs and scroll down to Reporters Roundtable. You can also drop us a line. Our email is reporters@voanews.com. Once again, thanks very much for tuning in. And until next week, I'm your host, Douglas Impoga, in Washington.
tuned for Africa News.